goalie news, April 26th, we're going to get right into it. Eastern Conference, Carolina Hurricanes versus New York Islanders. What a grudge match it has been. Hurricanes are up 3-1. I think they have a game Tuesday, which is the time of recording for us. So, yes, it is a day late, and these stats have changed. But Antti Rantanen has started all the games, which has been a bit surprising for us. We were wrong on that. We've been wrong quite a bit, actually. He has 2.46 goals against average, 91.5 save percentage. Pretty good. Pretty good. Doing his job. The Islanders started Ilya Sorokin. No surprise there. But the big surprise is his goals against average at a 2.96. That's pretty high. But he also has a 91.7 save percentage. Are you still thinking Hurricanes in six?
Yes, I'm still thinking Hurricanes will get it in six. I think Islanders are going to grab another game, and then Hurricanes will take it back.
Perfect. I think my my guess is out in Islanders in six. So here's to Islanders in seven. What I didn't account for is the pure grit that the Hurricanes have.
Yeah.
Right? They are a workhorse team, and they're just able to get job done.
Yep.
Terrible overlook on my behalf. Boston Bruins versus Florida Panthers. No real surprise, but Boston's leading 3-1. Kind of a surprise that's not a sweep. I had it in the sweep. Again, I'm wrong. Cody has it, Boston in five, so he's very much on the mark. Allmark got ejected from the game. What game would that have been? Four? Game four?
Game four. Was awesome.
Yeah.
Good for him to stand up for himself, too.
Yeah, stand up for himself and kind of his teammate. After your Matthew Tkachuk had kind of a dirty hit, and then going after Allmark, like kind of questionable whether or not it's intended. Like you have a hot goalie, try to push him off his game a little bit more, but you also have to think the goalie that they have as a backup is also a top three goalie. So yeah. I don't think it's going to help you very much.
Well, and I think that goes to show too the how deep they are with their goalies, that Allmark, he left the ice and Swayman was laughing at him, give him a fist bump. It's like, that just goes to show Swayman's not nervous to get in that knee in that net, and Allmark's having a good time. They're in the playoffs. Typically you're a little bit nervous getting thrown out of a game as a goalie, but when you're Boston right now, I don't think that's a matter of being nervous.
I don't think they feel very much pressure in the sense of the first round. I think they'll start feeling the pressure later on, but you also have to, did you hear the audio for that clip when Allmark was leaving?
No, I didn't.
So he's like, hey, you're in. Hey, Swayman, you're in. And Swayman's just kind of laughing. He goes, all right, love you. Yeah, see you in a minute. Love you too. Like, just two friends just going at it.
That's awesome.
Allmark has started all the games, and he has a 2.69 goals against average, 91.3 save percentage. Obviously, it's not a 1 point whatever he had during the regular season, but I guess he'll do. Swayman played 3 minutes, made one save. So he is unbeatable currently.
Good for him.
On the Florida side, as was expected, Alex Lyon played the first 2.5 games, getting one win, right? He kind of did his job. And his numbers aren't the worst numbers in the playoffs right now. But in that half game, Bobrovsky came in for them and started the next game. I'm going to have to double check that real quick.
He started game four. I think he came into game four, and he let in
No, six. He came into game.
Game in came three, in game three, but started
game four.
I think that's what we were calling. And
that's exactly podcast. What we expected.
Lyon's going to come in, and then Bobrovsky's going to take it.
Yeah.
But now, what do you do? Bobrovsky, 6-2 game, throw him back in net experience, or throw a guy who has a win in the series?
Honestly, it's kind of a flip of a coin. I think you would go who gives the team the most confidence. I think it's the guy with the win.
Yeah.
Right? It's do or die. Lion has a 3.02 goals against average and a 90.2 save percentage. In fairness, he's kind of doing his job. It is a crazy matchup. Like, no one's picking Florida out of this unless you're an insane Florida fan. So it's kind of like, who's going to get the job done, or who's going to do the job with the least amount of bleeding?
Yeah.
Right.
Do we have a reasoning of why Lion left the net in game three?
Didn't he just get pulled?
Yeah, he might have, but I'm just looking at his stats. He let in 3 on 26. Like, that's not, in a goalie aspect, that's not a reason to get pulled, but you also have to look at how the goals went in. Maybe they're quick goals. I'm just trying to look up. They scored in the first, second.
It could also just be change in momentum.
Yeah. Panthers got two back at the end of the game anyways. They were down. It looks like he let in the third goal, his third goal in the third period.
The type of goals as well. Maybe they're just kind of all distance shots. Game three. It was only 4-2.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. That's a surprise to pull a guy for that. But to say they did come back to make it 4-2 to finish that game out with Bobrovsky back in the net. And I'm just looking, I'm watching the third goal that he let in, and it was a shot from just above the dot on a breakout, like on a 2-on-1.
Yeah.
Breakaway. Shot from a breakaway at the dot. Glove side.
That's bad.
I mean, it's Pasternak shooting it.
Yeah, I think it was honestly just to get change momentum.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it worked.
Yeah.
Right. Would I have started Bobrovsky in game four? Probably still yes, even though he let in 1 on 6 shots. But would I start Bobrovsky in game five? No. I think I'd go with Lion.
Yeah.
Anyways, New Jersey Devils, New York Rangers. Crazy series. It's tied 2-2. Vanacek started the first two games, game one, game two, had a 4.52 goals against average, 82.7 save percentage. So they switched him, right? They switched him with, how do you say that name? Akira Schmid. He started both game three and four, winning both with a 0.91 goals against average and a 96.6 save percentage. This guy, I think, will dictate the series. If he's able to keep these numbers up and keep the way he's been playing going.
Yep.
Do I think the Devils are going to go far? No. Second round, eliminated for sure. Right. Yep. If the Rangers make it through, they have the capability, I think, to make it to the third round, but Schmid will essentially be kind of like the Ottinger of last year. The Matt Murray of the year before, or a handful of years before, there's always one breakout goalie, right? That steps up. I think this would be the guy. New York Rangers, Igor Shesterkin, 1.44 goals against average and a 94.1 save percentage. Exactly what we expected, right? You have to beat the goalie to win. And with Schmid and net at a 0.91 in two games, that's what you need to beat a 1.4 goals against average in four games, right? Crazy.
Yeah.
I have the Rangers in six. You have the Rangers in seven.
Yeah. I'm just looking at Schmidt's stats, and like, he's only a 22-year-old guy. Like, he's still young. So what you're saying about him being an upriser, that's a very possible coming with him.
I think just solely based on his two games, Well, I guess it would have been like Demko as well, right? Demko and Ottinger in the last 2-3 years have made a name for themselves in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right. And then had to back it up in the regular season. Same with Binnington, kind of. But yeah. But they were all guys that made their name for in the playoffs and then stuck around in the regular season.
Yeah.
Right. So I think this is what's going to happen with him. Like he will be in the NHL next year. Full time.
Yeah. He's played 24 career games and he's a 9-9 right now with 2 overtime losses. He is a 269 and a 902. So rookie goalie, that's good stats.
Yeah.
You're doing what you need to do. And with, I guess he had a 213 this season alone and a 922. Like that's good.
That's very good. Right. That's very good for rookie. Maybe the Rangers have found their guy. Right. They've been bouncing around guy to guy. Mackenzie Blackwood made a decent name for himself as Steady Eddie. But the trade for Corey Schneider kind of gave them a deficit because it did not go the way they wanted to many years ago. But ending the Eastern Conference with an absolute doozy, Toronto Maple Leafs versus Tampa Bay. Toronto's up 3-1. Crazy. Not expected at all. Both of these goalies are kind of getting shell-shocked, but the firepower on both teams are first class, right? World class. Ilya Samsonov has a 3.72 goals against average and 87.6 save percentage. Not great playoff stats, right? Andrei Vasilevsky, even worse, 4.33, which is the highest goals against average I've ever seen him have. Except maybe his very first playoff run when Ben Bishop got hurt in the Eastern Conference Finals. And he also has an 85.6 save percentage. Now, what I think the Leafs are doing really well with Vasilevsky, all their shots except William Nylander, who just puts it bar down with a 0.011 inch of space. The majority of them are either crash and bang, which it would be hard to score on Vasilevsky that way, or point shots with a crazy amount of people in front and tips.
Yeah.
And they've done that the last couple of years, but Vasilevsky never lost a game back to back. Right. We just don't see that domination from him.
Yeah.
This series yet. Now, if they get out of the first series, I think we'll see it, right? Because the experience is just going to come in.
Yeah. I'm looking at the goals against in their big comeback, their 4-1 comeback.
Yeah.
And all the goals are shots from defensemen getting tipped, getting screened, and it looks like they're going blocker side as well. That was one thing about him that I've seen is his blocker side. Vasilevsky doesn't have a weakness, but he has a weakness.
To his standards, there's a weakness, right? To everybody's standards, yes, there's a weakness.
But for your average NHL goalie, that is not.
Yeah, if you're playing on a Vasilevsky level blocker side, you're world class.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like when I keep bringing him up, but when Matt Murray, in the first two playoffs that he was in, no one could figure him out. And then everybody started shooting glove and realized he had a weak glove.
Yeah.
Right. But if you can't beat him anywhere else, if you score two goals on one side, that's his weakness.
Yeah.
With this series, I think this is the most exciting series there is. Right. Two pretty evenly matched teams. You got a good goalie and a great goalie. And then two very offensive teams. Like it can still go either way. The Leafs track record being up 3-1 is still a zero because in 7 years straight, they haven't gotten out of the first round. And I don't know, since like 2004, when Ed Belfour was around, they haven't gotten out of the first round. So still on the edge of the seat. I have Toronto in 6 games. You have the Lightning in 7. Both of those are still on the table. Kind of hope it's the Leafs in five. But it does bring us to a very controversial topic that has been an issue in the past with the Leafs, but it's going on all across the league right now, is the officiating. I don't really want to get too far down the rabbit hole. Cody did find some very interesting facts about the Leafs specifically, but it doesn't necessarily correspond directly with the problem. It is a bit of a conspiracy, but it's pretty interesting to listen to. So why don't you just take it away?
Yeah. So doing some research on this, we've been looking at the refereeing for this series. So just a quick thing about this, Mike Danton, he played with Sheldon Keefe, who's the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, together under coach David Frost in junior hockey in Deseretto, Ontario. So Frost was acquitted in 2008 on four counts of sexual exploitation dating back to 1996 to 97. Keefe, who was Danton's teammate, testified against Frost in the trial. But Frost, his brother-in-law is Wes McCauley, who is the NHL ref, who ref the Leafs in game one when Toronto lost 7-3. In that game, Lightning took only four penalties and the Leafs took eight penalties, double what the Lightning took. Altogether, the Leafs are 0-8 when having Wes ref their games in the playoffs. With other referees, the Leafs are 17-17. And the Lightning have not lost a game yet this season under Wes McCauley. Some pretty interesting facts that is very lopsided with a bunch of wins and losses.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Crazy conspiracy. 0-8, I think, for a team that's never been out of the first round is very possible.
Yep.
Right? That record also goes back to before Keefe was a coach with the Leafs. He was a coach with the Marlies, but I don't think for the conspiracy to happen, that would really matter. Could it be a coincidence? Maybe. The penalties for game one was also 8-4, right? And both teams went 50% on power play. So, like, you take away the penalties, the penalty goals. What was the final score? 7-3. So it would have been a 3-1 game, right? So it didn't really change the outcome. It just changed how many goals there were for this round, right? Conspiracy, yeah. It looks like there's facts, but again, it'd be kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, then talking about the reffing situation, the referees of that game have now been moved over to the Minnesota Wild and Dallas Stars series. They've been, would you say, relieved of their duties of that series?
I think that's how it was worded. And then they got into controversy, aka bad reffing. But it's the playoffs, and there's always going to be a lot of noise around missed calls or calls that shouldn't have been made.
Yeah.
The whole missed calls and calls that shouldn't have been made have seemed to move up. But during the regular season, how many people are focused on every single game?
No.
Right.
When it seems like now it feels like it's the year or the years of having social media on your side, and you can say whatever you want. You can look back at the video, say whatever you want about the refs, but in game time, like if you were to see that in game time in the stands, think what you think, but you don't have the ability to look back on it on a replay and then yell at the refs. Or that's like what you have the ability to when you're at the game or watching on TV. The refs have only the ability to see what they see in that action time. They don't have the ability to go look at it again, like what you guys get to do back at home, sitting on your couch, and then slow it down, see where he actually hits you or something. They don't have that ability on the ice at that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a little important to say that we're not picking sides, both being players and coaches. Like, I enjoy the reps. We need the reps. I think it'd be a terrible game if we just relied on, like, air quotes, Toronto making all the calls and stopping the game when a call needs to be made. I think there was one year where, like, it seemed like every whistle they were going to the cameras and checking something. And it just slowed the game way down and just got boring. So there will always be mistakes. There will always be missed calls or calls that should not have been made. I think the ones that have been seeping through the cracks have just been a little bit more outrageous, right? Like, there's been a couple diving ones that's like, okay, well, a guy got cross-checked from behind. You're going to fall down. Like, you can't keep your balance when you get cross-checked from behind. A guy going for a hit misses and gets called for tripping. Like, is that, that's not really tripping. Like, yeah, the other player fell down too, but the guy going for the hit, like the player dodged a hit and just ended up getting clipped.
Yep.
For me, that's a good hockey play, right? Knee on knee, that's a different story. But if you go and try to get out of the way of a hit and you fall down, you're fine, right? It's either get blown up or fall down.
Yeah.
So interesting.
I think the whole reason why this thing's getting blown up, refs are going to make bad calls. They're human. Happens every sport. A little bit more in certain sports because of the action coming so fast without the replay. But
I think all the time when the playoffs come, the refs get hate and it's always in the first round. There's what, 8 teams per side. So 16 teams, the very passionate fan bases. There's always going to be one missed call on both sides. And both fan bases are going to be blowing it up on social media, right? And then the analysts are going to slow it way down and be like, right here at the point of impact is when they should have called blah, blah, right? So it'll be interesting. Maybe there's a fix to be made with a third ref somewhere, like on the bench or something. But who knows, if that's way down the road. And I know the NHL isn't really going to be worried about that for a while.
It's not like, I guess the controversy on the Toronto Maple Leafs thing is because there could be a little bit of bias there, but any other series, take away the Toronto series, I don't think that the refs are out there to pick one side or the other. I think if in that hit, if the Dallas player went to hit the Minnesota player and the Dallas player got the penalty, it would be the same. He would call the same thing no matter who was wearing which jersey. I think that's another thing you have to take a look at. It's not like the refs are there calling purposeful penalties on certain teams because of who they are.
Besides Wes McCauley.
Yeah, and that's the one controversy which we're bringing up with the Maple Leafs.
But it gets brought up every year, right?
Yes, it does.
Like, the only way around it is if the NHL doesn't send, or I guess it's really the NHL OA officiating, I don't know, whatever the refs union is, if they just don't send Wes McCauley to the Leafs series.
Yep, and that's...
Keep him on the West Coast.
Yep.
Like, there's plenty of hockey for him to go ref. Anyways, getting on to the Western Conference, unless you had anything else to add.
Nope, good.
Actually, I do have a question. LA Oilers, do you think that was a high stick?
It's hard to tell. I personally thought it was high stick, but... yeah, I'm not sure. Either way, the way that I view this as high stick or not, if that puck's coming down the same trajectory as it is, no matter what, I don't think that it made the biggest impact on whether or not that goal was going to be scored or not.
The only way it would make an impact is if a player close to the puck on the other team stopped skating, thinking that it's going to get blown down.
Yeah. Like, I don't think
but that... then that's on the player, because you have to play until you hear the whistle. Like, you can't anticipate.
Yeah. Like, my view on that is it may have been high stick, but either way, I don't think that there was a big enough impact on that play of the puck turning edge enough for it to dictate the puck going in or not.
Fair enough.
But that's the NHL rules are the rules. And if it gets high sticked, it's high sticked. I think there's so much commotion on that because maybe it touched it, maybe it didn't. And the fan base of Edmonton is huge. They're just going to blow it up that they got robbed.
There actually is a reffing controversy. A couple calls in the Rangers-Hurricanes game. I think it was game four. One was like a goalie interference, but the defenseman clearly pushed the player in.
Yeah.
And they scored on that power play. Another one was a diving. And so it's all over, right? Yeah. Bad calls are all over. But to wrap up the rep talk, goalies, we don't care about the refs. We want to respect it. So maybe we get a couple calls our way.
Yep.
So hand the puck to the ref, say thanks, say, hey, that was a good penalty. Even if you don't agree with it, just make the guy feel good about themselves, because then you're in their good books.
Yep.
Western Conference, Colorado, Seattle. Didn't necessarily see this happening, but it is tied 2-2. Makar suspended for game five, one game, for a hit on McCain. Colorado's goalie, Alexander Georgiev, 2.99 goals against average and a 90.8 save percentage. Not great. Philip Grubauer, 2.76 goals against average, 91.6 save percentage. Not great either. Like, it seems like there's not a lot of goalies really hitting that high number save percentage and the low goals against average that we normally see. But maybe this is the kind of the new age, a lot of scoring. That's what Bettman wants.
Yep.
And so just need to find a way to outscore the other team. Right. Are you surprised with tied 2-2?
Yes, I am surprised actually. And I've been following this series a little bit more than what I normally would be. And it looks like Seattle keeps grabbing the lead early on and then the Avs claw back in the game.
And that's just kind of the experience that they have, right? The Colorado's always been a third period team, even last year, right? Edmonton would go up early with a lot of goals and then Colorado would still just keep clawing back into the games.
Yeah.
Right. So a little surprising. I think Colorado needs to wake up and win the next two, get onto the next series.
Yeah.
Dallas, Minnesota. This has been a bit of a bloodbath, tied 2-2. In the last episode, both Cody and I did say that we'd take Jake Oettinger in overtime, anytime, any place, anywhere. And game one went to overtime and Jake Oettinger lost. So again, I'd still pick him, but it's just tough. Oettinger has a 2.68 goals against average and a 90.6 save percentage. We did say that Fleury would start game one, and he did, and hasn't played since. 7 goals against average and a 77.4 save percentage. One game, I think that's a tough look. Maybe they gave him the game just so he's played in 17 straight postseasons, right? It'd be nice to see him get another game, but I doubt that's going to happen with Filip Gustavsson having unreal stats, 1.72 goals against average and a 94.1 save percentage. That's kind of the playoff hockey I'm looking for right there. You have Dallas in 7. I have Dallas in 6. Are you going to stick with that?
Yeah, I'm sticking with that.
Vegas, Winnipeg, another very good series. For Vegas, we have Laurent Brossoit, 2.75 goals against average, 90.2 save percentage. Connor Hellebuyck, 3.21 goals against average, 89.5 save percentage. Not unreal stats, kind of doing their jobs. Two gritty teams, so there's going to be a lot of dirty in front of the net goals, right? Big hits, hard play, kind of like old school-ish hockey maybe. You have Vegas in five. You're going to stick with that?
Yeah, I'll stick with
that. You can't. It's mathematically impossible.
No, I'm sticking with that.
All right. I got Vegas.
I'm going Vegas in seven. I was at the game last night.
Who's backing up for him?
Hill's backing up for Vegas.
Hill's backing up.
So quick, I was looking at their Instagram, and it looks like they have a third goalie out there wearing, I couldn't zoom in to see, but they're wearing white pads. Not sure if that's
Bond.
I honestly couldn't tell. I thought it was going to be Quick, but.
So Quick's a no-show and Thompson's still injured?
Thompson's still hurt. So it's Brossoit and Hill and then maybe Quick. But how does that make sense? Cap space, maybe? Would we say
cap space? Well, cap space doesn't really matter in the playoffs, to be honest with you.
But it doesn't. That's the only thing I can think of, unless maybe Quick got hurt in practice or warm-up or something. Just it doesn't make sense to me that you're dressing Hill as a backup and then putting Quick third string. The other thing I was going to say about the series of why I was at that game last night, and it was a rough game for a playoff game. No fights, but big hits. And that's what you need to do in the series. It looked like the Jets' game plan in that game was to bury them in the corners, hit them hard on forechecks, and then just wear them out in Vegas's defensive zone. And it looked like it was working. They got momentum, hemmed them in quite a bit. But Vegas
came from behind, didn't they?
What's that?
There's been a lot of come from behind.
There's been a lot of come from behinds. And yeah, Vegas, I think they're only down one, but even still, it was a really physical game last night.
I just thought of this. Boston and Florida. Boston's been playing without Bergeron.
He's been sick, hasn't he?
Yeah, so he should be back for game five, which is kind of a scary thought.
Yeah.
Last matchup here, Edmonton versus LA, tied 2-2. You had Edmonton 4, don't think that's happening. I had Edmonton 5, don't think that's happening. Stuart Skinner played the first three and, I don't know, a period games. He had a 3.38 goals against average, 88.1 save percentage. Not to his standard, right? Jack Campbell came in, one goal on 28 shots, winning in overtime. That was game 4. That was huge for them, right? I think if LA went up 3-1, I think that was it for Edmonton. But for LA, Jonas Korpisalo, 3.00 goals against average, 91.8 save percentage. Not the best stats, but with the firepower and the outmatched offensive ability, I would say that's pretty good because you're almost at a 92 save percentage and only 3 goals. Flat. Somehow it's flat.
Yep.
Right? So it is a race to 3, but you got to keep working for that fourth goal. Right? Skinner's 3.38. That's barely 3. Right? Get to the 3, and who can score that fourth goal first is probably going to win the game.
Yep. What's your thoughts? Who are you starting game 5?
Campbell or Skinner?
Yeah.
I'd go Campbell. He has a good track record in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? He just came and saved the day. Right? And it wasn't like a 3-minute session. It was over half a game. right? 28 shots, 27 saves, big saves too, and OT.
Yep.
Give him the start, right? He's got the momentum. And if you get in trouble and he doesn't do well, well, go back to Skinner. By that time, Skinner should have emotionally calmed down. Like, I'm sure he's emotionally calmed down now, but there's always that voice in the back of your head, right? So hopefully he's able to silence that. Mm-hmm. I'd go Campbell.
Yeah. I think the good thing about that situation is it's game five. It's not like it's game seven. It's not like it's do or die game.
Yeah.
You throw Campbell in. It's a juggle, but it's always going to be a juggle, whoever you throw in, unless you're Vasilevsky or Hellebuck. And then throw Campbell in. If they go down 3-2, that's still another two-game series. You just got to win two games, and you can put Skinner back in net. It's not like it's a do-or-die game seven.
Here's something for you. Do the Lightning put in Brian Elliott? Take out Vasilevsky?
I don't think you ever take Vasilevsky out a net. They asked him if he wanted to get pulled in there.
He's always going to say no.
And he says no. He said no. He got the opportunity to get asked to go out, and he said no.
I think that's the right call, but could you imagine the shakeup that would be?
I don't even know how the team would react to that. Like, would that be a thing of it's like, holy sh, like we have to
thank you.
Have to play really well? Or is that going to be a thing as like, are we really doing this? Like, how many games has he played this year? He's probably not played many games. Like, you always see Vazzy in net.
Let's just do some simple math here. Vasilevsky played 60 games this season. So 22-ish games.
22 at most. Brian Elliott, season record of 1-1.
He has played 22 games. So they didn't have as third goalie up at all.
It's pretty
12 wins, 8 losses, 3.4 goals against, 89.1. So probably not.
No, I can't see you throwing
two shutouts.
Yeah, you're playing for Tampa.
He was drafted 291st overall.
Holy wow.
He's made a pretty good name for himself. If his career playoffs were a little bit better, he has 48 games played.
Yeah.
17 wins, 26 losses. I'd say it's pretty normal. 2.72 goals against, 90.4.
I just think that whoever you throw in playing against the Leafs, it's going to be a high-scoring game. You already know every game's been high-scoring.
At the same time, though, it might not be. Where, like, the Leafs are streaky.
Yeah.
Hot, cold, hot, cold. So, like, hopefully they're hot at the right time. But, like, it's 3-1. I'm still standing by. If it goes to game seven, they're losing. Like, and then that's going to start a whole thing, too. But... yeah. The best thing I've seen so far, one is Akra Schmid playing. Unreal watching him. Just so smooth, calm.
And then Philip, I don't even think that we had him on our list.
We didn't. When we looked up New York, New Jersey.
We had Black.
They were like Vegas in the sense they had 4 goalies listed.
Yeah.
Right? All starting a lot of games. So we picked the two that had the most games, Blackwood and Vanacek, right? So Vanacek started, which we did call, and we were assuming Blackwood would be the backup because he was really the starter for the last two or three seasons, right? But I guess maybe he's injured and or just got beat out. So Schmid's in. Schmidt's going to stay in for the whole playoffs. Doesn't matter how far they go. And then the next best thing is Gustafsson. Right? Come in, settle the team down. He's technically 2 wins, 1 loss. Go from there.
I got a question for you as a goalie. Akira. I think that's what
you
pronounce it. Let me just try to grab his stats here. So Schmidt. Okay, so we talked before about goalies making their name in the playoffs. This, like, I think it's his first playoff games. As a goalie, playing your first playoff games, playing your first big games, do you play differently in those games than you would in the regular season?
I think you have to say yes.
Yeah.
Even if it's not your first playoff and you're not a rookie, like, you can't argue that everybody's stats normally get bumped and show a little bit better. And it's more the atmosphere instead of like the pressure.
Yeah.
Because it's so exciting. Like, this is what you want. This is why you play hockey. The 7-game series, you want the bloodbath. You want the excitement. You want the emotional, not damage, but emotional highs and lows, right? It's what you've been building up for, and it's do or die. Game one, it starts do or die. In the regular season, doesn't matter if you win game one because you got 81 more games, mm-hmm. right? The emotion of the first 10 games, right? People's stats are pretty good, and then it drops off, and then it gets picked back up. Then it drops off, gets picked back up. It's a long season, right? Lots of time for highs and lows in playoffs. It has to be high and has to stay high.
Yep.
Right? Because one game can make a difference.
Yep.
Right? So, yes, I think there's difference. I think for him, I'm sure in his lifetime, he's played in playoffs and he's played in big games, and he's just walking into another one of those.
Mm.
Right? The only difference is now that it's the NHL, which, like, yeah. Cool, right?
What do you think a guy like him, like Schmidt or Ottinger or, say, Binnington when he won his cup, do you think that there's a playing style that's different from a guy like that versus Vasilevskiy in the final? Do you think that there's a fire in them that's going to be different? Or do you think that the compete level is not really the right thing because they're going to be competing for the Stanley Cup. But do you think like the confidence versus compete level is going to be there on both sides, or is it going to be a bit different?
I don't know, both sides of who?
Like a guy like Vasilevskiy with
experience. Like a veteran compared to a rookie.
Yeah, a veteran compared to a rookie in a Stanley Cup final, because we've had quite a bit of rookie goaltenders make it a name for themselves in the playoffs. Throw those guys into the big game. What do you think the difference is going to be of those two goalies?
Well, I think, again, when you say veteran for the Stanley Cup finals, the only real veterans would be like a Jonathan Quick, Vasilevskiy, Fleury, maybe technically a Binnington, maybe a Darcy Kemper, but he's not in the playoffs this year because they've been there and they've won, right? Yeah. You can't be a veteran and lose.
Yeah.
Right. So everybody who's made it and been runners up, you have the experience of getting to the conference finals and winning. Great. But then you haven't won the big 7-game series. Yeah. So you're not a veteran there. So if it's a rookie in there, it's the same as like a 15-year veteran who hasn't won.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, the rookie's better because he's not emotionally scarred, air quotes, scarred from losing so many times, right? He's not thinking, oh, this is the last chance, right? Or like been fighting and being like, okay, this might be the only time because it's my only time I'm going to get there, right? Like Carey Price, like Henrik Lundqvist, right? Yeah, they only made it to the finals once.
Carey Price is a great example of that. Like, you have a guy like Carey Price versus Vasilevskiy, who has a couple belts or a couple titles under him. I think the question that I'm asking is, do you
think that was Vasilevskiy's first?
He has two now, doesn't he?
He does, but I think Montreal was the first.
Okay. Well, basically what I'm asking is, do you think that there's a difference in playing style versus basically fire versus confidence, like rookie versus vet, fire confidence?
So yes. And you can see it in the teams, right?
Yeah.
Are we getting the best Tampa Bay Lightning team in the first four games?
Probably not. No.
No. Right? They're going to be a very different team game five. Very different. Right? That's the veteran of the playoffs coming out in the team. Right? Same with Vasilevskiy. I would not be surprised if it was like a 7-0 game. Would not be surprised. Yeah. Right? Because Vasilevskiy, he's still confident. I guarantee you he's still confident in his ability. And he can, everybody says, is going to say, turn it on. Excuse me. He's just going to dial it in a little bit more. Hey, do or die. We need to win this game to get through to the second round. Let's go. Room for error is minimal now.
Yeah.
Right? The veteran teams, it's a different team the first three games compared to the last four games in each series. And same with the goalies, right? Rookie goalies, it's very different. Rookie goalies are going to stay consistent in their output, tiring themselves out in those seven-game spans, where the veteran goalie, like Vasilevskiy or Quick or whoever, who's won the cup, okay, room for error is a little bit more in the top three games, but it'd be good to get a couple of the wins. And then the last half of the series, you dial it in, right? When you start looking for the third win, fourth win, is when that room for error really subsidizes. Mm. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not saying they're trying less. It's just different emotion.
Yeah. Well, our coach, like Jan Ludvik this year, was talking to us about when he was in the Stanley Cup. And he was always saying that your goalie has to win you one or two games. And that's a perfect example. If your team can win you two games and then your goalie can win you two games, that's your series right there. That's basically it. Yeah.
And like we said last week, Vasilevskiy has the capability of winning four games.
He does, yes.
Right? So him winning the next three games is not a crazy thought.
Yeah. And we saw that with his last run too. What did he had four shutouts in each elimination game.
Something like that, yeah.
Like that's unheard of, but that is Vasilevskiy hockey. That is him winning games for the team.
Yep. And like going back, Carey Price in international play, Carey Price has two or three shutouts in the semifinals. Yep. Like that's your goalie winning that. Like, doesn't matter if you guys score one goal. All right. Like, you guys won. Right.
Yep.
So that just provides a whole other layer of confidence with the whole team. Right. I think up until last year, maybe Vasilevskiy never lost a back-to-back game in the playoffs.
I think he's lost two in his career. I think that's what
crazy
was. Yeah.
Crazy. Right. So again, he lost last night for us Monday. Chances of them winning game five, of the Leafs winning game five, statistically very low based on history, based on this series, kind of high. Mm-hmm. So see what happens.
I don't think many people would have on their sheets that Toronto would win in five. I think most people either would say they lose seven.
Or win six.
Or win six, yeah. I don't think many people had a 4-1 series.
I don't think Toronto will, if they make it through, and let's just say they make it all the way to the finals, I don't think they'll sweep any team.
No.
I don't think they really have the capability. And it's because young, energetic, potentially overthinking people.
yeah, like emotional yeah. roller coaster team.
Yeah. They're not steady Eddie like the Avalanche, right? Where they win in the third period, even though I guess technically the Leafs do score more in the third, but their system isn't wear down. Even Tampa, right? It's not the same team first period to the third period. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's wrap up here.
Awesome.
Do you have anything else to add?
No, that was a good talk today.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. See you guys next week.
Thank you.